Well, good morning, church. So glad you're here today. You have your sword with you today. You have your sword. I invite you to raise it high. That means the holy word of God. We're going to learn about that here in our spiritual warfare. Repeat after me. Here we go. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Is quick and powerful. That means alive and well. And sharper than any two-edged sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You just quoted Hebrews 4:12. Say it with me, Hebrews 4:12. Let's pray about that right now. Father, under the authority of the holy word of God, the sword of the Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the Savior over all. Today is just not a message from a simple man. We'll be embarking on truths from God in this battle that we're in right now, not with the coronavirus, but with the devil himself and his cohorts, his comrades, fallen angels, i.e. demons. Dear God, please anoint me, anoint us through your precious word, the sword of the Lord, defensively, offensively. It cuts both ways. Help us to fall in love and to use your word right now as never before in our lives, as it is desperately needed. We love you. We give full attention to you now. And all your children said in one accord, amen and amen in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, while we continue in our series of spiritual warfare. We'll be discovering here in just a moment, we've made our way up to message number 4, and is refer to your basic training. But right now, while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm excited to share with you what God has in store for us for the next few months. To close out this year, I talk to preachers often. They say, you know, the church right now is just not the same. Very few people are able to come back. We can't have small group Bible studies. We can't do this. We can't do that. But friends, we get a chance to assemble together on Sunday morning. Amen? Now, you can see my smiling face. My hope and trust is in none other than Jesus Christ. But I can't see anything behind your mask. But I know where your heart is. I know where your life is. I know where your love is. So that's why we want to keep stirring the pot and being the living vehicle of Jesus Christ. We just quoted Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Word of God is alive. It's alive. I had a professor years ago. He would just go on the street, and he always wore a little derby. And he would take his derby off, his hat, and he'd put a New Testament down there. And he put his derby on top of the New Testament there on the sidewalk, and he'd run around the circle and say, it's alive, it's alive. And a crowd, of course, would assemble together. And they'd take his little hat off, and he'd say, it's the Word of God. And he starts street preaching right there. And I thought, oh, if I had such boldness, wow. But folks, we are the living vehicle, being fed through the living God. And of course, our daily consumption is right here, the living Word. So I just want you to know, you will sit back and listen now, you and those listening at home. We're excited to report here in September, Children's Church reopened safely. If you go back in the dining hall, you see how we have a dozen tables set up. The children have more than social distancing precautions taken there. So I'm thanking God for all those who are working in that area. The Olacox West Virginia Mission's emphasis in prayer this week, Ms. Donna's already given testimony to, reported on. The Gideon Bible Drive next week, next Sunday. Folks, we always do this. Once a year, we want to show the world we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's no better way than to get the word out than to work through the Gideon's International. Thousands of men all around this world handing these out in public forums. And by the way, Gary, help me, do you or David remember, how many did you give away at the state fair in 2019? 17,000. David, would you agree with that? There you go. Thank you so much for this. And Herb, you were saved by a Gideon Bible in a hotel room. Think about this, friend. So, for $5, you and I get a privilege of purchasing one hotel Bible. Or half of that, you can purchase a Gideon New Testament. The little pocket New Testament is given to nurses and college students and many, many others. So I'm thrilled that this church is interested in Bible drives, and next Sunday will be taking place. You've already heard about the ladies' Bible study that also will be taking place here internally, all the social distancing. And I want to thank God for Jerry Reed and Joe Bennett. Now, I know you all are not really looking for praises, but we're taking time up this morning. This is important. Thank you for allowing us to continue in adult Sunday school classes safely, virtually, and also by the phone. And Miss Donna and I go on visitation. We hear from many of the seniors saying, I'm still staying in touch with my church family through Sunday school. I can't come and be and assemble there with others, but I certainly can do this at home. Friends, I'm thrilled that we have these two vehicles. Plus, we also have the youth that are still meeting separately and safely. Thank you, Andy and Brian and all the others working on that. And I'm also thrilled to mention that we'll have a new Discover FBC class, the new members class. That'll be starting later this month. And it's going to be on Sunday nights. Because right now, Sunday nights, when we've been using for visitation and other church forums. But right now, Sunday evenings, when we get a chance to pick up where we left off with the folks that already registered, and also invite some new people in. So that'll be the month of September, but hold on, it gets better. In October, we'll be concluding the sermon series here of spiritual warfare. I hope you're keeping notes. But also after that, the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry begins in October. If you heard it mentioned here this morning, the children in Children's Church are going to be helping with this. The Sam's Ministry, I believe Brenda and Gary, you all met, the Sam's Ministry might be helping with the shoebox mission project as well. We just had new boxes that are delivered. They're back in the fellowship hall. We'll be distributing those here very soon. Hey, mark this down. We don't have an exact date. I think we put it on your calendar. We're going to try to honor it. We want to get the entire church family together for an outdoor radio ministry back over at the West Virginia State Fairgrounds. Let me say it again. We're hoping to get together like we did at Easter in October, before the cold weather comes. There's many people that you know and I know that are still not comfortable coming indoors for worship, but they miss seeing one another. So we're going to assemble together. We have plenty of room for 200 or 300 cars over there. We purchased a radio transmitter. We're trying to work through all the details there, and we're going to have a glorious time in October, hopefully bringing everybody together one more time, bringing the family together to celebrate Jesus Christ. Deacon ordination for two newly elected deacons. Think about this. Two new deacons. A church I previously served in, they're having their first baptism of the year outside in a river. Praise God for that. Many people are not able to do that right now, but I'm thanking God for all churches that are still moving forward. We're not going to let the coronavirus or the devil stop us from glorifying God. Amen? So September, exciting things. October, exciting things. November, hold on. We're going to have IMB missionaries. The International Mission Board missionaries are coming from the Middle East here to give a report. You know who they are. We know who they are. I'm looking forward to them being here and giving you a report there. And that'll be the first part of November. After that, we're the annual Veterans Day service. We always want to take time to do that. Honor our vets. And then backed by popular demand, a special concert will take place in November, 316 Crossroads. I'm so looking forward to that. Praise God. And that's going to take place right here on a Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday is going to be Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving Sunday before the actual Thursday that's marked on your calendar for Thanksgiving. And we'll be burning the last mortgage. Jack Smith is going to be lighting the match. And Jack Smith said, Jack, whenever I talk to you on the phone, Jack, we just made another payment against the mortgage. We're down now to less than one or two. And he always goes, woohoo! You can't do it with a mask on. Well, Jack, I'll do a woohoo for you. We're paying the last mortgage here on the building, and we're going to celebrate that together. And then, we haven't done this in years. We're going to be adorning God's house, decorating here for Christmas. The last Sunday of November, we'll be celebrating the special service called Hanging of the Greens. Looking at my calendar, we haven't done this in years. We have some wonderful folks in the decor department to come in, and they just beautify this wonderful sanctuary here. But we'll be doing it together collectively in a special memorial service, commemorating every article, Everything we put on the wall, in the windows, on the stage, has a biblical meaning. That's going to take place in November. Then in November, and that's November, December, we'll have a visit from our new West Virginia Convention, the Southern Baptist director and his wife. They're going to be here the first Sunday. We've already tagged them. They saved the date for us. And we'll be celebrating Christmas with them, as well as everyone here, all the month of December. We'll finish out the year with our 2020 reflections. Folks, COVID can't stop Christ. Would you repeat that with me? COVID can't stop Christ. One more time. COVID can't stop Christ, nor His living church. Think about that. The devil thinks he has it back on our haunches. We're still assembling together in the first day of the week to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still leaving this place, going out into the highways and the byways and witnessing to people. I asked you last week about praying for us. Miss Donna and I were going to go on a motorcycle ride and just hand out some gospel tracts. We had the privilege of doing so. And one guy and girl, if they're listening now, I'm not sure if they are, we invited them to be a part. They were traveling from Ohio. They chased us down. And they found us in another remote place and said, you know, this thing you gave us now, what is this again? Think about that. Grown adults who don't know that Jesus is Lord. Folks, we must be the living organism. The living organ. We're not about religion. Religion will send you to hell. Can I get amen? You understand where I'm going with that. Religion will send you to hell, but a relationship will carry you to the presence of God. Now, that's a great place for you to say, glory to God. COVID can't stop Christ nor His church. Well, today's study is going to be about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And right now I want to call attention to the overhead screen. There's six things we learned here from the book of Ephesians chapter 6 referring to spiritual warfare and the full armor of God. But we made our way up to number 4. But if you haven't been here in the past, let me just catch you up where we are. The first thing we learned was we need to realize we're in a war. A lot of Christians don't realize we're in a war. The second thing, we don't know who the enemy is. Stop fighting among yourselves. We were with one senior saint this week, and they said that over and over again. I wish the Republicans and Democrats would stop fighting among themselves. I can't even watch the news. And I said, you've earned the right to say that. They said, I'm tired of churches fighting among themselves. Let's glorify God. If there's ever a time for the United States to come together and glorify God, it would be now. And this is a 90-year-old saint of God saying, preacher, tell them, let's get along for the glory of God. I said, I believe I will. Believe I will. So what we learned here was we're in a war. And right behind that, we're in a war not with one another, but with the devil. And the third thing, of course, last week we learned the battle's not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. We don't take credit when we win victoriously over the devil. No, it is God, which brings us now to the fourth study for today, that was introduction, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. We got to give praise to God. And in the heat of the battle, you and I must refer to our basic training as soldiers of the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, victory in Jesus, confidence in Christ. Verse number 14 begins like this. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. If you don't mind underscoring things in your Bible, I would do that. We're triumphing in Christ, not under our own means, but under the leadership in Christ. You're either in Christ or out of Christ. You see how simple that is? Who makes manifest the savor, watch this, the fragrance of His knowledge by us as we go about every place. You see this? A sweet savor. And the Apostle Paul is telling the church here at Corinth that you and I can lift up a sweet fragrance to God. Wherever we go, we are to God a sweet fragrance. In verse 15, a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and also in them that perish. He goes on to explain in verse 16. To the one, we are the fragrance, the savior of death unto death. And to the other, the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Notice verse number 17. We'll land on this one. We are not as many which corrupt, which frustrate, which complicate the Word of God. But as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ Jesus. You see this? There's many people out here complicating, corrupting the Word of God, the fragrance of God, the sweet savor, the Holy Scriptures. Let me call attention to verse number 2 in chapter 3. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about, listen, you're a living Bible. You are, look in verse number 2 of chapter 3. Let your eyes just glide down there just a little bit. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. P.S. You may be the only Bible some people ever read. You ever heard that expression? Right here, I'm borrowing that thought from this. We are advertisements for Jesus Christ. Where we go, how we act, what we do. Friends, the world is changing about us. Each and every week I struggle with trying to be positive because I serve a positive God. But it's easy to preach against things, but you and I in the last 20 years, we've seen changes in 20 years that our grandparents here on Grandparents' Day would roll over in their grave if we even brought up in public discussion. And yet it's being celebrated today. What happened? What happened to the world? I'll tell you what took place. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. Now, what have we concluded from that? And it's a reminder, we must put it on. Hence, obviously, some of us are not dressed for battle. Some of us, the Apostle Paul said, you got to put this on. You got to put this on. He's talking to a good church at Ephesus. Reminder, when you get dressed daily, to put on the fragrance of Jesus Christ and put on the full armor of God. I'm just talking about the erosion of moralities, the erosion of the authority of God's holy word, the erosion of the church and the interest in the church. I'm not being negative. This took place some 2,000 years ago. You think about the city of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was a metropolitan area. The cosmopolitans of the world wanted to live there. It was a great seaport in Asia Minor. Really, it's where modern-day Turkey is. It housed one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana, Artemis. You think about it, over 100 columns of pure marble there. And yet, do you know the city of Ephesus, which one was really known all around the world as being the trade center when you went into the pergo of in the interior of the courtyard, it was twice the size of a football field. Think about this. Like a big open market. Everybody went. They brought their finest wares there. How? They brought it from the seaport. But guess what they were required to do? This seaport had a geological problem, a biochemical problem. The silt was filling up their seaport. And some men were required to keep the seaport clean, keep that contamination out. And yet, they grew tired. Do you realize now if you visit this city, it's no longer the city, the great city of Diana, the theaters and all the others. It now has been broken down, you know, just pilfered, overtaken, and the new seaport moved up. You realize it's 6 miles from the ocean right now? How did that happen? Because that seaport they're supposed to be keeping clean, filled up with silt and dirt and other contaminations, and they didn't cleanse it. You think about your heart, you think about your mind. I think about my heart, I think about my mind. You think about the church, you think about authority in America. My goodness, how many of you were taught to say yes, sir, and no, no, sir, growing up? Does that strike anybody funny here on Grandparents' Day? I tell you, I'll do somersaults down Main Street if a child says yes, sir, to me. And it has nothing to do with me, but I ask parents all the time, when I hear a 5-year-old child say, hey, Dallas, I don't answer. I said, I'm asking you to teach your children to call me Pastor Dallas. Has nothing to do with this man. It has to do with the authority of God. We're breaking it down. Hey, Pastor Dallas, yes, now I'm listening. I'll give you the world. What happened to our America? It just was overtaken. The corruption of the evil one who just continued to fill our calendars, fill our minds, fill our voids, People say, I don't have time for God anymore. I got this going on and that going on, that going on, that going on. Wow. Maybe God owes you an apology for blessing you too much. I'm not being sarcastic, but think about that. But what can we do about this contamination? What can we do about this corruption? What can we do in our message for today? Well, just like this erosion in Ephesus, friends, you and I must be prepared to do battle with Satan. When we see it infiltrating our homes, we need to say, fire, fire, and get everybody's attention. My home, your home. We need to get serious about this. Say, the devil, you're not welcome here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority, you're not welcome in my business, Victoria. Thank you. I go in your office, Victoria, you always have a Bible open. I say, Victoria, does that make any of your clients mad? She said, I don't really think about that. This is my business. It shouldn't make them mad. I have the hope. It's a love book. Thank you for that. But think about this, though. Fire, fire, fire. I don't know if your children are being taught today, but ours certainly were. When you're on fire, there's three things, three words we're taught to do. Stop, drop, what's the next one? Roll. Stop, drop, and roll. You think about that. I wasn't taught as a child to stop, drop, and roll. They taught us other means of how, if you catch on fire, don't go running out the door. How about this? You have a kitchen fire. You're frying chicken. And I know somebody's house who burned down doing this. A dear man. He was a frying chicken. He loved fried chicken. All of God's children said, amen, yes. I mean good old-fashioned Crisco. Throw a little bit of lard in there, some bacon grease. I'm talking real fried chicken soaked in buttermilk. Now can I get amen? Amen, preacher. You know what I'm talking about. When it caught on fire, he picked up the iron skillet. That's the only way you really can fry real chicken. And he tried to make it to the back door. And, of course, the iron skillet was hot. He didn't realize it in the heat of the moment, and he tripped. It fell and hit the ground, spread, burned his house down. How do you extinguish a grease fire? You throw water on it? No! It spreads it. What's the easiest way? What's the easiest way to contain a fire, a grease fire? What is it? Say it with me. You cover it. You cover it. You smother. You cut off the oxygen. Folks, that's what we're doing today. We need to refer to our basic training. What do you do in a time of fire? What do you do in a foxhole? What do you do in a time of emergency? Stop, drop, and roll. All those things you need to remember. I need to remember as borrowed from Jesus Christ. Follow along in your ears. I'm going to try to quote Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry, listen, this is important. Jesus began his earthly ministry, the devil came out. And I don't know in the mind of the devil other than he is evil. We've already learned he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? He's a thief and a liar. He wants no good in this world. But I'm just presenting to you the possibility. The devil said, if I can shut down Jesus, the Son of God, right now, I'm going to extinguish all of his earthly efforts and the promises in heaven. So as Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. This is Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. I want you to count every time Jesus refers to the Word of God. Refer to the manual, the Word of God. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And then the tempter came to him. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread, lest at any time you would go hungry. And Jesus said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are you paying attention? Go like that. That's one. Well, then the devil took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and showed him the glory there. He said, if you really are the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now, the devil's quoting Psalm 91. He said, I know a little bit about the Bible as well. It is written that God shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot, not a single foot against a stone. Throw yourself down, Jesus. How did Jesus respond? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then in frustration, the devil said, the little god of this world, he said, I'm going to take you up to an exceeding high mountain overlooking Jerusalem and the beautiful area there. He said, all of these things will I give you if you only fall down and worship me. But Jesus said, it is written. How many times? Three times. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and none other. In him only shall they worship. Well, the devil left him. Behold, the Bible says, angels came and ministered unto him. If you were counting, three times Jesus referred to the Word of God. Three times in one discourse. Let me ask you very pointedly here today. When's the last time you used the Word of God? The sword of the Lord in your battles with the devil. I'm asking. When's the last time you quoted Scripture to put the devil in his place? You know why I'm asking you? Go ask myself. When's the last time I'm fighting the devil and rather than me trying to use my intellect, my abilities, I'm just saying, it is written. This is the authority of Almighty God. Could I get an amen? Not man's words, God's words. That's why we said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, please. I'm going to put on the overhead, but I'm going to let your eyes glide down to this. Mark your spot here, because we'll be coming back to it. But I want you to see the full counsel of God is found in Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor. A lot of people don't even know the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. It says it right there. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus smothered the efforts of Satan by using it is written. I think that's a great thing for you and I to learn in our basic training here. Our manual, it is written. You see that in Ephesians chapter 6? Go down about verse number 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I want you to listen to me in verse number 16. This is John, the Apostle John, who played a big part in Ephesus, by the way. John and Timothy and the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus and the first church there. This is the John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Revelation, the book of Revelation, as he's exiled on the island of Patmos. Notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16, in reference to the temptations of Jesus. For all that is in this world, here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But these things are not of the Father, but of the world. You know that's how the devil tempts you and I today? You think about this, the lust of the flesh. Didn't he try that with Jesus? Jesus, you haven't eaten anything for 40 days. Command that these stones be made bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the manual, the Word of God. Folks, I'm not here today to cheerlead and say, use your Bible. I'm here to say, you and I are not equipped fully unless we use the Word of God in our daily battle. We can put on all this armor, the helmet, the breastplate, all these things, and we can ward off the fiery darts of the devil. But we haven't battled with him at all. The sword of the Lord, it is written. So let me read again here. In 1 John chapter 2, the lust of the flesh. He tried it with Jesus, it didn't work. The lust of the eyes. Consider all these things down here. I'll give you the whole world. It didn't work. And then the pride of life. Why don't you go ahead and throw yourself down? If you really are the Son of God, he'll send angels over you, and you won't dash your foot against one stone. You see, the devil hasn't changed his strategies. He's doing that today. How does he get a man to cheat on his wife? The lust of the flesh. How does he get somebody to steal from his company? The pride of life. All these things, there's nothing new under the sun, especially the strategies of the devil. That's why you and I must go back to the basics of the Bible, which again is our study for today. Refer to the manual. Go back to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to invite you to consider with me, chapter 10 at this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5, as we continue in our battles with the devil and breaking down these strongholds. Folks, you and I are in many battles. We have the battle of the bulge, which is the belly battle. We have the battle of beauty, which is the outer battles. Every day we battle this. Then we have the battle of the budget, battling money, battling the economy, all those battles there. But the battle that the devil has, folks, is eternal. You and I must be prepared. The devil doesn't fight fair. He doesn't fight fair. No holds barred. I remember that being really clear. We were at Carson Newman Christian College many, many years ago. I'm going to say 20 plus years ago with our teenagers. And I had a new youth minister on staff, and He'd never been to Centrifuge and Mission Fuge before. We loaded our students up and we took the younger ones to Centrifuge, and they had a phenomenal youth pastor there. He just related to these teenagers. His name was John. They still talk about John. He was a youth minister from Oklahoma or wherever it was, someplace in the Midwest. This guy just spoke their language. And he told a story about going camping just before he came to Centrifuge, how he went up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and how he's there in a tent. The only thing between him and the bear was this little bit of fabric, his tent. He heard a bear growling outside of his tent. He had the kids hanging there on the edge of their chairs. I'm in the back with my youth leader and others just watch this unfold. And the man, whole time he said, "But I was prepared. The bear was out there, he's snarling, he was growling. I was in a tent all by myself." He said, "I knew I was going to come down here, so he said, I'm going to just take this bear on with my big knife." He pulled out that big old knife, boom. It was a pocket knife about that big. A pocket knife about that. And the kids just rolled and laughed. He said, "I stood off, oh, touche, and I fought that bear down." Of course he's making this story up. But I can ask kids now who are in ministry, who were there with me. Remember that story John told about the bear? Oh, that was the funniest thing. He told them much better than I did. But he made an application. He said, "Listen to me, boys and girls. That's not the sword of the Lord." He said, "This is just a little penknife to clean my fingernails. You can't battle the devil with that. You can't battle a bear with that." He said, "And the devil, you know what his playground is? Your mind. Consider with me. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 3, 4, and 5. For we walk not, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Folks, this is a military term. Don't fraternize with the enemy. This is a military term. The Apostle Paul spoke to them. They understood this. You walk in the flesh, but you're not fighting the flesh. Well, who are we fighting? Well, verse number 4 tells us. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our minds are the playground, the battlefield for the devil. Let me ask you, what did you watch on television last night? Just asking. What kind of music did we listen to this morning in preparation for church? Just asking. The devil loves when we turn him loose in our mind. And then it infiltrates, it corrupts, just like that seaport there in Ephesus. All of a sudden, you don't even see it. The contamination starts to just permeate, taking over our bodies. We got to cast these things down, bring them to captivity. I wrote my Bible right here. I wish you could see it. January 2003, we had a missionary from Venezuela that came to our church, and he told of the real warfare, the spiritual warfare there, the demonic forces that truly are loose. This guy was from America. He said, "I had no idea what I was going to be facing when I went to a pagan-infested jungle." He told us stories and made the hair stand up on the end of your arms. And he said, "Guys, this is real. And this is coming to America. Stop inviting it in your home, in your television, these games your kids play and all the other." He said, "I'm begging you. You got to cast down these strongholds here. You got to take your thoughts into captivity." Yes, many battles, many battles, many enemies. Satan and his warriors. A man once told an old preacher, "I've gone through the Bible many times, but it hadn't done anything for me." Which the preacher replied, "Next time, why don't you let the Bible go through you?" Did you catch that? The man said, "I've been through the Bible. I've gone through the Bible many times, but I haven't gotten anything out of it." The preacher said, "Well, why don't you let the Bible go through you?" Friends, where's the battlefield between God and Satan? Here on this earth? In our minds. Proverbs 23, verse number 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What do you think about right now? What am I thinking about? That's why we quoted Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. the living Word of God, the sword of the Lord, is needed today more than ever. Don't anybody look around the room, because I'm a Bible junkie. I mean that in a respectful manner. Every time I go to the store, I want to buy another Bible. And I just love Bible and Bible commentaries and things. And even though I probably have my top five I'll be using here in the pulpit and studying, I'm ashamed to tell you how many Bibles I have. However, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, "A well-worn Bible is usually a sign of a well-fed soul." So don't look at your neighbor's Bible. Is it brand new? Is it worn out? Listen what else he said. "A Bible that has fallen apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Now that part I like. He was quoted and saying that. You know where else I heard that? I'm going to do a shout out to Miss Anna Ruth Crawley. Miss Anna Ruth, I know you're listening by radio. You don't have internet out there on the other side of the mountain where you live in Rennick. But Anna Ruth, did bless us there tonight just on visitation. For 2 hours, the woman quoted Scripture. "It is written, it is written, it is written." And she quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon here, perhaps the greatest preacher, many believe, who ever lived. And I said, "Anna Ruth, it's just amazing. I come to minister to you and I leave on fire." Well, we say in the country, on fire. She said, "Well, let me just amp it up a little bit." She said, "I just got a telephone call from a woman now who's a grandmother, but was one of the children I taught when I taught the youth in our church for all these many years." I said, "What, you got to tell me?" She said, "Yes." The woman called. She said, "Is this Anna Ruth Crawley of such and such West Virginia?" She said, "It is. Were you the Anna Ruth Crawley who taught the teenagers and the boys and girls?" So she said, "It certainly is." And she said, "You won't remember me, ma'am, but about 50 years ago, you taught me. And I was there for, you know, a few months," and gave her name. Anna Ruth said, "Honey, I know who you are." Think about that. Anna Ruth, this November, is going to be 95 years old. And her mind is sharper than you and me. You know why? Because she stays hearing the Word of God. She doesn't dull it. She keeps it sharp. And the woman said, "Well, Miss Anna Ruth, I got to ask you something." And she had a deep theological question in eschatology, the future events of God. And Anna Ruth just peeled them off, just quoted Scripture and quoted Scripture and quoted Scripture. Woo! Jack Smith. That thrills me. Not burning a mortgage. Woo! When a 95-year-old saint of God is still out there on the battlefield with the sword of the Lord, don't you get excited about that? Huh? Or we like the Peanuts character, little Sally. Sally was required. You remember the days before political correctness, Charles Schulz used to put the little cartoon clip in there, and sometimes the kids went to church. And one of my favorite was Sally, the little blonde hair. I married the little blonde. But Sally, the little blonde, she's getting ready for Sunday school. Charlie Brown said, "Sally, did you remember your Bible verse?" She said, "No." "You didn't remember your Bible verse from last week? Did you write it down?" She said, "No, but I think I know the book it came from. It came from the book of Revelation. And those who took time to really study out the little cartoon clip like I'm explaining to you now would understand. Charles Schulz was saying, you need to reevaluate your life. Where do you stand before Almighty God? God, please help us. Second World War quote, all you Army and Navy guys, realizing we're in a battle, listen to this. A Second World War naval quote taken from the early days of our nation. "America used to have wooden ships and iron men, but now we have iron ships and paper doll men." I didn't say that. It's something my ancestors passed down. They were all in the Navy. And that's what I talk about. Be a man. Be a man. Can I throw some preachers in there? I remember when you used to have a preacher say, "Thus saith God, the sword of the Lord." He also was committing to memory the Word of God, using the Word of God, not his opinion. I don't care about a preacher's opinion. Neither should you. You can go ahead and say amen. That's okay. It doesn't upset me. Folks, opinions are like feet. Most of them got us. And most of them stink. I want the authority of the Word of God. Paper doll preachers today, pandering to the camera, pandering to the people, tiptoeing through the tithers. Whatever happened to a man of God standing up just saying, "Thus saith God, God help us." And God, it's your battle, not ours, but I'm going to put on the full armor. Listen to what old J. Vernon McGee said. You know who he is. Say amen. He said, "Years ago, I was active in Youth for Christ as a young preacher, and was out every Saturday night. As we used to say, it was the devil's night. Now that I'm an old preacher, I've observed that the devil doesn't work at night only. I believe the devil was asleep most Saturday nights when I was out there. Why? He was resting up so he could go to church on Sunday morning. You see, the devil already had the Saturday night crowd. He didn't need to do battle with them. He didn't need to fight them. So he saved his energy to fight among the church folk on Sunday morning. Oh, and he loved it when they fought among themselves. Folks, you think about that in closing. The devil's loose and running wild, seeking whom he may devour. We've called him out under the authority of God's holy word. He's not welcome in churches, and yet oftentimes churches invite him in. Don't you think this COVID-19 should get our fullest attention to come together as never before, and reevaluate why we're here? Don't you think it'd be a time for us to go back to the basic training in boot camp and say, why are we here? What's the purpose of the church? What's the purpose of a Christian? Yes, is to reach the lost at any cost. Get out there on the battlefield. I want to invite you to commit to memory this week, not a book of reevaluation, but the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. We quoted it earlier. Who would accept that challenge? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is. Would you do that? It'll change your life. Friends, this room probably wouldn't hold all of the sermons, the poems, and the songs written about the Bible. But allow me to share with you one of my favorite songs of old that the Bell Brothers wrote, Kitty Wells sang, Hank Williams Sr. sang, the White sang of this, all the, if you like the old country music back in the 50s, would you raise your hand? You probably know I'm talking about 50s and 60s, Kitty Wells and all them. It puts it in perspective as we close today on referring to the basics important of the Bible. It goes like this, dust on the Bible. I went into a home one day to see some friends of mine. Of all the books and magazines there, not a Bible could I find. I asked them for the Bible, and they brought it. But what a shame, for the dust was covered over it. Not a fingerprint was plain. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the word of all the prophets and the sayings of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find, there's none that salvation holds. Get the dust off the Bible and redeem your poor soul. Johnny, you know that old song, dust on the Bible. Friends, if you're a Christian, you have dust on your Bible, today be a great day to repent and ask God to forgive you for that. Jesus Christ died so you and I could have that Bible. He is the living Word. And those listening by airwaves, or perhaps you're here today, you're not a Christian. You're doing battle with the devil without any weaponry at all, without any armor at all. No wonder you're losing. I'm asking right now to hold up your Bible one last time as we pray. On the authority of Almighty God, from this day forward, we will lay claim to our purpose and our power through the Word of God. Father, you've heard us here this morning, quoting Scripture, delving to the Word of God. God, we thank you for not being the author of confusion. You gave us this holy sword, the holy script, the holy Scriptures. Help us to commit it to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. So then we are a sweet fragrance, a savor to others. They say, what's that smell? What are those words? What are you talking about? And then we can just expound from our hearts what you've already written here for us to enjoy today. Thank you, God, for the word. Save those that need to be saved. Convict the rest of us to get in the battle. We may need to sharpen the tool. The sword. That's okay. Let's turn off the TVs. Let's get on the back porch. Let's spend some quality time here during this shutdown with you so we can be saints of God at 95 years of age, quoting, thus saith the Lord. Move on us now as we're about to leave this place as soldiers and servants of the cross, equipped to do battle with the devil. We again offer this under the authority of the Holy Word as written by Jesus Himself. And your children said, amen and amen.